Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Now we're going to go to Sydney, where 15 members of the Jewish community were shot dead in a gun attack on Bondi Beach. Just days after the Hanukkah shooting spree, news of another possible attack being planned and happily foiled. Well, journalist Rhett Burney is in Sydney. Hello again, Rhett.
Good afternoon.
What can you tell us about the arrests, the latest on those?
Yeah, so police have intercepted, they say, seven men in two vehicles this afternoon in Sydney. And they say that those men have been arrested and are assisting police with inquiries about a potentially violent incident. That's the wording that New South Wales police are using at the moment. Details around exactly what that potentially violent incident is or was planned to be are not yet known. They have not yet been shared with the media. The men are still assisting police with their inquiries. But Australian police say that it does not appear at this stage that it is linked, or what was believed to have been planned was linked, to Sunday's terror attack in Bondi Beach.
And the funerals of the victims, Rhett, have been taking place. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, we've seen some really, really awful goodbyes from families affected for the victims of those who were killed on Sunday night during that terrorist attack. Amongst them, they're all gut-wrenching. There's no way to get away from that. But 10-year-old Matilda, now her surname, her family have requested, while her image has been circulated and they're okay with that, they've requested that her surname not be shared. We did see a vision from that funeral for 10-year-old Matilda, and her middle name was B, B-double-E, just like the flying bee that we see. And so in some really poignant images, we've seen a lot of people wearing the colours of bees. Bees were placed around the area where the funeral were being held as well. So a number of funerals underway at the moment throughout the last couple of days, and more to be expected given the number of people that were killed on Sunday.
And in terms of changing the climate and avoiding, I suppose, hatred being directed at any particular group, the measure that the Australian government is considering is hate speech laws and gun laws, so they don't act on any motivations like this. Anthony Albanese has been outlining some of the government proposals. Hang on a second there, Rhett. We're just going to hear from what Anthony Albanese had to say.
A special envoy to combat anti-Semitism, Gillian Siegel, has delivered a report that sets out further steps we can take. The Australian government adopts and fully supports the plan to combat anti-Semitism. We have already legislated for hate speech, hate crimes, hate symbols, outlawing doxing. Today I'm announcing a significant number of additional actions to build on the plan. Firstly, the Attorney-General and Minister for Home Affairs will develop a package of legislative reforms to crack down on those who spread hate, division and radicalisation. The Minister for Home Affairs will also have new powers to cancel or reject visas for those who spread hate and division in this country, or would do so if they were allowed to come here.
And that reference to doxing is publishing the home address or any information which would lead to somebody being identifiable and targeted in their own home or their place of work. Rhett, what is the current situation with hate speech at the moment?
So we have seen laws strengthened over the previous few years underneath the Albanese government as well. I think today's announcement is almost like a doubling down of that, but also a message to anyone, really, regardless of what their motivation might be for hate speech or which group they may be intending to use that against. And like you mentioned, their doxing, potential for their visas to be cancelled or them to be prevented from entering Australia. We are seeing those hate speech laws even further strengthened. That's what the Prime Minister is saying. An example of when the laws had already been strengthened previously would be quite a few months back when Kanye West, the American rapper, was actually banned from entering Australia. His visa was denied due to some of the comments that he'd made about the Jewish community. So his wife life as Australian. It was quite a big story at the time, not because of his celebrity status, but because of what he'd said and some of the lyrics that he'd released in an album back in May this year. What we're hearing now from the Prime Minister today, who is under a lot of pressure from the Jewish community in particular and the Australian community as a whole, it is a doubling down, but also a push to really say, we are taking this as seriously as we possibly can. We are strengthening those laws and we are going to make it as impossible for anyone to get into the country that may share beliefs about particular groups, whether it be about Jewish groups or whether it be about any other groups. However, how that remains to be enacted will be something that journalists and obviously the world, but also the Australian public, will be watching closely, because right now the pressure is really on the Prime Minister and Cabinet to get it right, to make sure that what we saw on Sunday does not happen again in Australia.
And finally and briefly, Rhett, I suppose, Australia would have a frontier culture not dissimilar to that of the United States. Are gun laws held in the same regard in Australia, or is there a greater appetite for reform of them in Australia?
No. So Australia, look, our gun laws changed historically almost three decades ago following the Port Arthur massacre in Tasmania, which is a smaller island state off Australia. Though that's where we saw the gun buyback scheme, the banning of semi-automatic rifles, licensing schemes brought in. The large cohort of Australians, I'll put it bluntly, the only people that I know that actually own guns in Australia are farmers, and they're even a lot of the farmers I know don't even own guns. So it's usually you need a license. It's required only for the specifics of pest control, so for controlling foxes. There's a lot of psychological evaluations usually. What's interesting about what's happened in Bondi with the terror attack is the fact that the 50-year-old man who was shot dead by police, the father involved in this attack, he was licensed to carry six firearms or to hold six firearms. And that's, so the appetite is huge for change, for further strengthening of gun laws. So it is very different in Australia compared to America. There isn't any sort of desire to possess a weapon. And if anything, the public appetite is to get further restrictions in place.
Thanks very much for that, Rhett. And apologies, of course, not currently in Sydney at the moment. Rhett Burney, many thanks for joining.